Impeachment managers focus on rioters' words in the final day of their presentation. And federal prosecutors are looking into the recent GameStop trading frenzy.
I think their primary, you know, interest would be in whether there's any fraud, any market manipulation that played a role in the price of GameStop shares rising as high as they did.
Plus, snacks like Cheetos are keeping soda companies from going flat. It's Thursday, February 11th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. House impeachment managers have wrapped up their final day of presentations in the Senate trial of former President Donald Trump. Congresswoman Diana DeGette focused on statements from rioters during and after the incident.
The insurrectionists argued with law enforcement that they shouldn't even be fighting them because they believed that the commander-in-chief was ordering this. This was the person's understanding. When President-elect Biden went on television that day to demand an end to the siege, one woman asked this.
Does he not realize President Trump called us to siege the place?
Congressional reporter Lindsay Wise has more on their presentations today.
Another major theme is this idea that Donald Trump's behavior makes it necessary to bar him from holding office in the future, because the way they're putting it, the Democratic managers, is that they're not trying to punish Trump for what happened, but that they feel it's important to convict him so that he can never hold office again. And I think that that is something that they're trying to appeal to the senators, that it would be, frankly, dangerous to have him, you know, running for office again in this country.
Trump's defense team will begin their presentations tomorrow. They have 16 hours total, but his lawyers plan to only use a day. One of Trump's lawyers, David Schoen, criticized Democrats for showing videos of rioters, saying it was not helpful to the healing process and that Trump had condemned the riot. For the latest developments, head to WSJ.com and be sure to listen to our AM edition of What's News tomorrow morning. New weekly jobless claims fell again, signaling the labor market may be starting to pull out of a winter slowdown. New claims stood at 793,000 last week, down from an early January peak of more than 900,000. Economists are pointing to an increase in hiring last month and the lifting of business restrictions in California and the Northeast. U.S. hospitalizations due to the coronavirus are at their lowest level in nearly 3 months. Hospitalizations were below 80,000 on Wednesday, according to the COVID Tracking Project. New infections are also trending downward and have remained below 100,000 for 4 days in a row, according to Johns Hopkins University. The daily death toll was still above 3,300 yesterday, but the seven-day average is trending downward. President Biden said today that the U.S. had struck deals with Pfizer and Moderna to purchase 200 million more COVID-19 vaccine doses, following his pledge last month to increase Americans' access to vaccines. The new doses would bring the total number ordered by the U.S. up to 600 million. And another vote of confidence in Bitcoin. The Bank of New York Mellon says it will hold, transfer, and issue Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies on behalf of its asset management clients. Bitcoin prices are on the rise again. Trading jumped earlier this month after Tesla invested $1.5 billion in the cryptocurrency. Coming up after the break, why GameStop mania is catching the attention of federal prosecutors.
Your Money Briefing will explore what you need to know to become a homeowner and how to sustain your home by learning ways to manage the costs from unexpected expenses.
You're basically always in a state of checking. You're always keeping your eye open for anything that could be going wrong with your house. Your house is a complicated machine. It has a lot of systems and components in it, and those systems and components are getting older. They're wearing out.
You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access. Only for WSJ subscribers.
Last month, shares of video game retailer GameStop soared more than 1,600% over the course of just a few weeks. The surge was driven by a group of online retail traders. The price of GameStop and a few other heavily traded stocks have come back down, but the trading frenzy is now catching the attention of federal prosecutors. We report exclusively that the Justice Department is now investigating, according to people familiar with the matter. Reporter Dave Michaels covers financial enforcement for The Wall Street Journal. He joins me now. Hi, Dave. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dave, we've previously reported on securities regulators looking into last month's GameStop rally. You've discovered that federal prosecutors are also now looking into this. You've been speaking with people familiar with the matter about it. What can you tell us?
Well, the Justice Department, an office of the Justice Department called the Fraud Section, along with the U.S. Attorney's Office in San Francisco, have opened their own investigation related to the GameStop trading. And we reported today that as part of the information they've started to gather, they had sent a subpoena to Robinhood. Robinhood is the brokerage that became sort of a hub of sorts of the GameStop trading over the past month. So it's very preliminary investigation at this stage, but it is very interesting that they thought it was worth opening an investigation, starting to look there.
And is there any sense right now of what they might be looking for?
Based on reporting and, you know, sort of inference from covering this stuff for a long time, I think their primary, you know, interest would be in whether there's any fraud, any market manipulation that played a role in the price of GameStop shares rising as high as they did, or the price of AMC shares rising as high as they did, or in any other markets. So, you know, there are a lot of other regulations that the Securities and Exchange Commission primarily enforces. I believe that the Justice Department would primarily be interested in knowing whether there was any fraud behind the scenes that caused or contributed to all this.
You also found that the Commodity Futures Trading Commission is making some similar inquiries. Any other details you can tell us about that investigation?
They're a civil regulator. They're sort of the sister regulator to the SEC, and they regulate commodity futures and derivatives. And so the CFTC has essentially a preliminary investigation open, where they are looking at whether there was any misconduct related to trading in silver. After GameStop shares shot up, a lot of these individual traders began to target silver for some reason. Silver, buying the silver ETF, SLV, buying shares of silver miners, but also potentially buying silver futures. And so that is the CFTC's area. And so it stands to reason that if regulators and law enforcement are looking at the potential for market manipulation, the CFTC would come in and take a look at the silver market.
Now, the SEC and the CFTC are both civil regulators. Can you tell us a little bit about how what they're looking into and what they can take action on differs from what the Justice Department can do here?
I think they're all interested in the same facts. They can enforce some of the same laws. The anti-fraud laws that the SEC and the CFTC enforce can be enforced criminally as well. But there are just a lot more laws that the CFTC and the SEC can enforce, and regulations that they can enforce that are not anti-fraud laws, that have to do with how broker-dealers do business, how what they call futures commission merchants do business, how exchanges do business, how hedge funds do business. And so you basically expand the scope of a potential enforcement action if you're talking about the regulators as opposed to the Justice Department. But generally speaking, you know, a lot of those other rules, the consequences are not as grave as if prosecutors indicted a company or indicted a trader.
How are GameStop and Robinhood responding to all of this?
Robinhood has, you know, you can imagine they've been inundated with a controversy. They've had customers mad at them for certain actions they took, regulators asking a lot of questions, now law enforcement, the media. You know, this is, I imagine, a very high wire act for a very young company at a very important stage of its life. It's a pre-IPO company. It's not a public company yet, and they aim to go public. So they have a very difficult set of circumstances to navigate. You know, GameStop, we know less about. They're the issuer of the stock. It doesn't appear that, you know, they were involved in like how this whole trading frenzy happened. They just became the target and their shares shot up in price.
And we should say here that the Justice Department and the CFTC declined to comment. Dave, what about forums like Reddit, where some of these trades were discussed? Are any of the agencies you spoke about looking into individual traders or people who spoke on these forums?
We think that they are going to be looking at these messages. You can imagine there are so many messages. It's like boiling the ocean, trying to find the ones that might indicate somebody did something bad. If you've read those messages, a lot of them are, you know, just very aggressive statements. There's so many of them. So could the SEC bring charges against traders? Perhaps. Is Reddit in trouble? It's unlikely, but You know, one question is Reddit likely to sort of turn over a lot of information on its users to the regulators or law enforcement? That's an interesting question. It's always a question that comes up when you have these bulletin boards and message boards that become places where people say things that have an influence on stocks.
And the CEO of Reddit, Steve Huffman, tells us he was invited to testify on this and plans to appear before lawmakers later this month. Dave, I'm sure you'll be keeping an eye out for that. Reporter Dave Michaels covers financial enforcement for The Wall Street Journal. Dave, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, from Cheetos to Tostitos, oatmeal and pancakes, sales of snacks and breakfast foods have been good business for PepsiCo. The company is best known for its namesake soda brand, but consumer habits are changing. More people are eating at home during the pandemic, which is good for PepsiCo's food brands like Quaker Oats. And with restaurants, movie theaters, and stadiums closed or operating at reduced capacity, the company's soda sales are going flat. Its North American beverage sales volume fell by 1.5% last year. Its biggest rival, Coca-Cola, also saw declines in its soda sales. Pepsi is expecting its soda business to rebound as COVID vaccines roll out, but it also hopes that even after things get back to normal, people will decide they actually like eating breakfast at home. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.